M12, I just have to say, I am excited to be here with you guys. I've been around for a few weeks now checking it out, and I'm absolutely pumped to be talking to you about what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're in week 3 of our series, Goliath Must Fall. Week 1, we talked about the classic story that everybody knows, David and Goliath, and David really taking down Goliath. But in that story, we talked about how it wasn't on David's strength, it wasn't by David's power that he took out Goliath, but it was on God's power. And then last week, week 2, we got into the second part of David's story, and we talked about how he actually fell into temptation, he gave in, and he actually commits adultery with Bathsheba, and he actually has her husband killed, and he starts making these terrible decisions in his life. He falls into sin, and things start to go really bad for David. And so tonight, we're in week 3. We're in the third part of David's story, and what we're going to learn tonight from the third part of his story is absolutely huge. But what I want to do before we get into the third part of his story is I want to ask you a question. And this is an important question. I want you to think about it. And that question is just this. What would happen in your life? Think about it. What would happen in your life if you made a huge mistake? Like if you made, I'm talking about a pretty big mistake. If you just made a huge mistake, what would happen? Or maybe a series of little mistakes that just started to add up. Or you just started to kind of nosedive. You messed up your life. You got on the wrong path. What would happen? Now, don't answer. You don't have to tell your friend, but just think about that in your head. I want you to think about that question because we're going to come back to it in a minute. I can think, for me personally, about a time where I messed up huge in my life. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to share it with you. I guess as we kind of get to know each other, I want to share with you a story about when I made a big mistake. And I was in eighth grade when this happened. I was an eighth grade boy. Do we have any eighth grade boys in the house here? Where's some eighth grade boys at? All right, so we got some eighth grade boys here. So you guys can understand a little bit of where I'm coming from in this story. So stay with me, guys. This is what happened. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. Hanging out with some friends, as most stories start for us eighth grade boys, hanging out with some friends, and one of my friends has the idea. He says, hey, I got a great idea. Tonight at about midnight, you come over to my house. We're going to go down the street to one of my neighbors, and we're going to do a little something called doorbell ditch. Now, is anybody familiar with that? Okay. Some people know what I'm talking about. Now, listen, I know that nobody in here has done that, but you may have heard of it. You may have heard of some people who did that. So we decide, all right, we're going for this. Listen up, guys. We decide, all right, we're going for this. We're going to do this. So I'm kind of following along with these guys. I'm thinking, all right, this can't be that bad. It might be pretty fun. So we go, and no joke, this is what happens. About midnight, we scoot over to this house, we ring the doorbell, and then we run across the street just to almost the edge of his driveway, and we hide behind a couple bushes, right? We're just sitting there, and we're waiting, you know, we're laughing, ha, this is awesome, as if we're like in eighth grade, our voices haven't dropped, so this is, you know, he's got the higher voice going on there, you know, this is awesome, man. And so we're chilling behind the bushes, we're waiting for this, we're thinking this is about to be incredible. The dude opens his door, door opens up, no joke, all I hear from the other side is like, you're gonna die tonight. Are you kidding me? This is no joke. That's the first thing out of the dude's mouth. He screams, you're gonna die tonight. I'm sitting on the other side. I just go from laughing with my friends to, oh my gosh. We just made a huge mistake. Like, guys, we're gonna die tonight. He just declared it. We're dead. Like, it's over. And so we're sitting behind there. No joke. The guy doesn't go back in his house. He doesn't let up. He gets on the phone and he calls some of his buddies to come by. And so we're stuck. We can't get out of this guy. We'll see. Some of his buddies start coming by. We hear a truck start coming down the road and turning into this guy's house. We are sitting behind there and I'm just thinking, I've made a huge mistake. I've never had a stronger prayer life than I did in that moment. Just on my face, God, please don't let me die here. The scariest, probably one of the scariest moments of my life. Me and my friends, long story short, we ended up running, bolting for it as they chased us, and we barely escaped. But I remember as soon as we escaped, as soon as we kind of turned the corner and gotten away, just thinking, that was a huge mistake. Like, that was a massive mistake. And for some of you, you can think of something in your life where maybe you've made a big mistake. If you haven't, I want you to keep that in mind. What would happen in your life if you did make a big mistake? Because that's where we're going to pick up in the story of David tonight. In week 3 tonight, the third part of his story, we're catching up with David right after he's made a huge mistake. Right? We talked about last week, he took another man's wife in Bathsheba. He committed adultery. Then he had the husband killed. And he's been going on at this point in his life for about a year. About a year with this just kind of being his own private thing. And then we see in the story we're going to look at tonight, a friend comes alongside David. a friend by the name of Nathan shows up to the scene, and we're going to start looking tonight at their conversation. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you've got your Bible with you, if not, we have some that are under your seats or around you that you can grab. You can follow along. It's on page 310, 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll have it on the screens as well, and we're going to start in verse 1. So check this out, guys. It says, "The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, 'There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor.'" Okay, so just pause right here. You got Nathan, this friend, who's coming to David. And Nathan starts to tell David a story. So you got to follow along. You got to understand, Nathan's telling a story right now to David. We're going to follow along with the story. He says, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him." Okay, that's a little weird. Can we just acknowledge that? Like, the lamb is drinking from the same cup. It slept in his arms. Like, bro, stop taking in stray animals. That's a little concerning. But anyways, we're going to continue on. "Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." So King David's listening to this story of this rich man who's got all this stuff, yet he takes the one thing from this poor man. This is the story Nathan's telling him, and as King David's listening to it, he's getting a little ticked off. He's, "Are you kidding me?" He's just starting to get indignant. He's upset, and he's saying, "How could this guy do this?" I mean, he's getting mad at the rich guy in the story who's taking from the poor man. He can't believe it. And then check this out, what Nathan says. Verse 7, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.'" In other words, he tells him, "You are the man in that story. That really, you're the one, David." He actually is calling David out. He's saying, "You're actually the one who took from the poor man. This is what you actually did. This is the sin that you committed." And he's calling him out right here. I want you guys to get that. When we read this, that Nathan is actually calling David out. I mean, it's one of those, it just got real moments. It probably got real awkward between them because he just calls him out on his mistake. Now, here's what I want you guys to understand. Nathan was able to call David out. He was able to call him out on his mistake. He was able to call him out on his sin because he was his friend. And Nathan wasn't doing it in such a way. He wasn't calling out David to try and put him down or try and make him feel bad, but he was calling him out because he cared about him. He was calling him out because he loved him, and he was standing there beside him even after he had messed up. And see, this is what I want you guys to get tonight. When we look at the friendship between Nathan and David, David knew something that is so important. And if we don't get it, guys, we will miss something huge. See, David knew that "we is greater than me." You got to get that. David knew that "we is greater than me." It's there in your notes. If you're taking notes and you're following along, you can just fill that in. Fill that in. "We is greater than me." See, David knew that life is better when you have friends who are there to sometimes call you out, friends who will sometimes encourage you, friends who will sometimes pray for you, friends who will stand with you even when you mess up. And he knew, guys, get this, he knew that "we together is always better than me alone." Now, I'll be honest, I love that theme there of "we over me." And I'm just gonna make a confession to you guys tonight. If you don't, this is something you gotta know about me. I am a huge fan of superhero movies. Is there any other fan of superhero movies in the house with me? Okay. What, you got Iron Man? Who? Of course, you got Iron Man. You've got the Hulk. You've got Captain America. So many great superhero movies out there. But tonight, guys, I want to share with you my absolute favorite one. So listen up, guys. Stay with me. My absolute favorite one, I'm telling you, I love superhero movies all across the board, but my favorite one has got to be The Avengers, okay? Thank you. Thank you. And let me tell you why, though. You got to understand why. You got to understand why I love The Avengers. It's because, see, all the other superhero movies, they're good on their own. I love watching them. They're fun. But The Avengers takes this idea of "we over me," of "we're better together than we can ever be on our own." And all these superheroes in the movies, they all come together to be stronger than they can ever be on their own. And of course, in the movie, at first, all the superheroes are reluctant. They're like trying to do their own thing. They want to be individual. They don't want to come together as a team. But there's this amazing scene in the movie. It's probably my favorite part where they all, for the first time, really come together as a team. It's absolutely epic. We're actually going to watch a clip. Let's check it out. Absolutely my favorite part of the whole movie. I love the Avengers, but listen, guys. That scene is so epic because it's the first time that they get in the movie that we is greater than me. They understand that when we come together, when we share life together, that we can be better together and we can be more together than we could ever be on our own. And that when we fight together, we're way stronger than we could ever be on our own. And see, just like they figured it out, the same is true for you, students. The exact same is true. That when you share your life, that when you live together, when you have friendships together, you become way stronger than you could ever be on your own. As a matter of fact, guys, if there's one thing that I want you to know tonight, it is this. That God has created you to share life. You got to get this. God has created you to share life. See, we're not meant to live on our own. We're not meant to fight the battles that we have in life on our own. David knew this. He knew that he had to have friends who were close to him, friends who could call him out, friends who could encourage him when he needed it, friends who could pray for him, friends who he could talk to about what is going on in his life. And see, when we try and get into this doing it all on our own, we miss out on so much that God has for us. Here's what's cool about M12, guys. Having been around here for just a couple months, I think this is one of the coolest things about M12. At M12, we believe this so much that God has created you to share life, that we actually have built that into every single night at M12. You guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about small groups. We've built in a time, in that small group time, every week where you can share your life with other people. And actually, as a matter of fact, I want to do this tonight. I'm going to need a little help from students and from leaders in the room, but this is what I want to do. If you are an M12 small group leader, could I just get you to stand up right now? Just please do me a favor. Small group leaders, wherever you are, just stand up right now. Can we just give it up for these leaders? Guys. All right, now listen up. Hold on. Leaders, stay standing for just a minute. Stay standing for just a second, leaders. Students, listen up. Students, I want to tell you something about these leaders. I'll tell you this, guys. None of these leaders, I can tell you a few reasons why they're not here. They're not here because we pay them. They're not here because they have nothing better to do. But these leaders who you see standing around you guys, they are here every week because they love you, they care about you, and they want to share life with you. They're not here because they want to be a police officer. They're not here because they want to just discipline or that's not why they're here. They're here because they love you guys, they care about you, and they want to share life with you. So one more time, can we make some noise for our small group leaders here? Please, please, let's thank them. Thank you guys. Y'all can grab a seat. Thank you. So guys, we are blessed to have some awesome leaders here with us. We're blessed to get to have a time every Wednesday in small groups where we can go together and have a chance to share life together. And as we wrap up in here, I just want to share one quick story with you. One quick little thing that you can actually see in just a couple minute long video. And it's a moment that was captured. It was actually a surprise moment that was captured on video. And it's so powerful because, listen, guys, it's a part of a talk show where they actually surprised the host of the talk show. They actually surprised him by bringing on the show some old friends of his. And you can tell just by his reaction that these just aren't any people. That these are people he has shared his life with. These are people who've been there for him in ups and downs. People that were able to probably call him out at times, that were able to encourage him. and they were able to pick him back up when he got knocked down. And it truly shows the power. You can just feel the weight of what it means to share life together. So we're going to check this out. It's a couple minutes. Take a look. It's a great story, guys. And listen, I love that video because just in a couple minute clip, you can see the power and the impact that it makes when you share life with others. You can see the difference that it makes. I want to read this to you. Just listen in. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says this. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You see, guys, God did not design us to do life on our own. He didn't design us to fight all the battles and go through all the things that we have to go through every day on our own. And so my challenge for you tonight, what I just want to leave you with, my challenge for you is to stop fighting on your own and start sharing in a group. Stop fighting on your own and start sharing in a group. Because listen, guys, I know this. In a room this big, there is some of you in here who are going through huge things in your lives. You have massive things that are going on. And so often, what we want to do is just keep it all inside. We want to bottle it up and we want to say, let me just fight this all on my own. Let me just take care of this and hold it all in. This sin that is taking me over or whatever the situation in my life is, let me just hold on to it all inside myself, guys. But that is not the way that God designed us to live. He designed for us to share our life with others. And so my challenge for you tonight is to start sharing in a group. Maybe for you, it's actually speaking up in small group for the first time and saying a little bit about what's actually going on in your life. Maybe for some of you, it's just pulling your leader to the side tonight and sharing something with them that maybe nobody else even knows about. Maybe no one else even knows is going on, something that you're going through, and you just need someone to talk to about it. Maybe it's just pulling a leader to the side and talking to them. Or maybe tonight it's just going to your group, and what it would mean to share your life and to actually open up would be almost just to not be a distraction and not try and make it all about yourself, but sit back and listen to others and try and help them. Whatever it is, guys, wherever God is calling you, I pray you would step into that tonight. And you will experience the amazing things that God has for us when we share our life with others. Because we together is always greater than me alone. So God's created us to share our life with one another. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for a place like M12 where we can come, we can worship you, we can hear your truth. And Father, we get to come to this place and we get to experience life and share life together. God, I pray for the small groups tonight as we leave this place, that you would start to open up some people who've maybe just kept things all inside, who've kept so many things to themselves, tried to fight battles on their own. Father, tonight I pray that you would open them up to sharing their life with others. Maybe it's with the group, maybe it's with the leader, Father. But we know, God, that when we do that, we experience you in a new way, and we are experiencing life the way that you've intended us. So we thank you so much for all you're doing here, all the blessings that you've poured out, God. It's in Jesus' name, amen.